You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, April 1st, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, as you all are pretty well aware of, April 1st over in America is known as April Fool's Day, and in the tradition of April Fool's Day, obviously this is not Sven Longshanks, I'm sorry, you were all pranked, and I bet you were totally fooled. You thought it was Sven. It is just the one and only nefarious, always nefarious, Grandpa Dan with you doing solo Daily Nationalist. I know you're disappointed. Bear with me. Sven couldn't be with us this week, and the show must go on, as they've always said. So, yeah, you're stuck with me. We're doing a solo Daily Nationalist today. But as always, hope to have a fun discussion. Just kind of go ahead and top your week off. So we're going to go into, of course, Daily Nationalist style. We got a news story to go into. And our story this week is titled Romney: NATO would rethink U.S. relationship if Trump wins in 2024. Now, as regular listeners of the so worldwide listened to and so popular Parish of the Patriot show knows, I've been saying, and it's been my opinion, and I continue to stand by it, your Globo Homo Team R candidate for the next election is going to be Romney. It's obvious. I mean, they've got the guy all front and center. They're doing interviews with him. My prediction is a Romney-Liz Cheney ticket. Why is that my prediction? Because nobody wants that. And see, the thing about democracy and our values in the West is it means that you get candidates that you don't want. You see, it is. It's our tradition. It's our values, who we are. You look at like John McCain. Nobody liked John McCain. Everybody in the country. Like if you're listening in Britain or somewhere else, you may not know this. You remember John McCain. You think, man, the Americans must have really loved that guy. You could not find anybody that liked that guy. Everybody hated that guy. Same thing. Mitch McConnell. Nobody likes that guy. Lindsey Graham. Everyone hates him. And yet, just like by pure magic, they get elected over and over and over again. It's how this wonderful system works. And with that in mind, I do believe we are going to see a Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney ticket to look forward to in 2024 so we can vote harder for real change. If we're really lucky, we'll get Romney like he was in his last failed presidential run. I'll never forget, whenever I think of Mitt Romney running for president, you know, one of the first things they do is the Iowa caucuses. You know, well, Iowa, what does that mean? That means farmers, so you've got to go out there with the hicks, you know. And I always think of this, there was Mitt Romney standing on some hay bales in somebody's barn wearing a flannel shirt and blue jeans that obviously somebody just bought for him. You know, it's just like, hello, my fellow humans. When I'm not busy putting, you know, thousands of people out of work and strip mining some company in my nefarious Wall Street dealings, I'm just like you, regular people. See? Blue jeans, flannel shirt. I'm human. Just like you. We might get a rerun of that if we're lucky or not so lucky, however you want to look at it. But anyway, let's go ahead and get off into the musings of Mitt Romney, because, you know, we've all got to be really, really interested in what Mitt has to say, since no doubt he's going to be the Team R candidate for 2024. Senator Mitt Romney, Republican Utah, said Tuesday in a CNN interview. See, there's your dead giveaway. There's a giveaway. CNN is interviewing him, and not in a hostile manner. If anything says I'm Team Global Homo, it's the fact that CNN invites you on over and over again and gives you a friendly platform. Anyway, in a CNN interview that if former President Donald Trump won the 2024 election, the NATO alliance would be significantly damaged. Romney, the 2012 GOP presidential nominee, said NATO members would wonder whether they could continue to count on the United States. Well, this is absurd because everybody else on the planet understands that NATO is the United States. I mean, really, if somebody says, if NATO goes around... I have the hardest time sometimes keeping things family friendly because I tend to use, you know, slang that people use. Got to keep it family friendly here. If NATO, when NATO decides to go around the world penis slinging and threatening to do regime change and bomb somebody, do you think anybody's sitting around, you know, going, oh my gosh, you know what, Bulgaria is going, no, Poland is going to attack us or what? No, it's the U.S. Everybody knows that the U.S., NATO is the U.S. NATO doesn't go do any. Have you ever seen a situation where NATO takes an action, but the U.S. is like, whoa, NATO bros, that's too far. You can't do that. I'm not going along with that. No, never. Everybody on the entire face of the planet understands that NATO is the U.S. It's so, so, so. Oh my gosh, the NATO alliance would worry that the U.S., they might not be able to count the U.S. in as, you know, supporting NATO. They won't be able to count on the U.S. Count on the U.S. for what? The U.S. is NATO. It's just utterly absurd. They've got the nerve to pretend otherwise. This is how stupid they think we are, by the way. This is all reflective of how they really do believe that we're so stupid. We don't understand that they live in their little bubble. They're far isolated. That's why Mitt Romney thinks they think if they put a pair of blue jeans and a flannel shirt on Mitt Romney, nobody will think, you know, oh, wow, what's this vulture capitalist doing standing on hay bales, dressing up, LARPing as though he's a corn farmer. Nobody's, you know, they live in the bubble. They think we're all so stupid that if they put blue jeans and a flannel shirt on this guy, you'll think he's a corn farmer from Iowa and he's one of you. But anyway, they do. They think we're so stupid that, you know, like NATO, like might go do something independent without it just being a proxy of the U.S. Let's get back to our story. If he were to come back as the U.S. president, I think it would represent a pretty dramatic departure for the world. And they would rethink whether they can count on the United States to lead NATO, to lead other nations as they push back against China and against Russia. Romney said, again, the U.S. is NATO. I mean, this idea, that, well, NATO might just go wandering off like sheep. You know, they might just wander off and do their own thing without the wonderful U.S. leadership. I stopped here because of the fact that he points out to push back against China and against Russia. I mean, at least with Russia, they can pretend like, you know, the Russian Federation is the Soviet Union 2.0. You know, I mean, at least they can do that. It's the North Atlantic, the North Atlantic Treaty, you know, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It is, China is a long way, you know, China is a long way, but you notice they lump China. What is NATO? What should NATO even have to do with China? And yet you notice they push that right out there, right up front. And are we supposed to ask exactly what are we pushing back against? You know, push back against China and against Russia. What exactly are we pushing back against China and Russia for that matter? I mean, I get with Russia, they're pretending like, you know, Putin invaded the Ukraine out of the blue for no reason besides he's mean and he hates the democracy and our values. And I get that. But if he's setting that aside for a minute, China, what exactly are we pushing back against China for? And what? You know, Vietnamese fishing rights or something, vague nonsense. What are they? Don't ever tell us, do they? They don't ever tell us exactly what we're pushing back against. We're pushing back against China. Well, what are we pushing back against China for? What exactly are they doing that is that we've got to push back about? Because it seems to me like if they're doing something they shouldn't be doing is concerning Vietnamese fishing rights, that's not really our problem. Seems like a local problem. Seems like really way far away from being our problem. But we're just told we have to push back against China. This is American politics today. It's all bumper sticker slogans, you know, and I say U.S., the West. the Western Journal. This was really highlighted back before this thing broke out in the Ukraine and, you know, really got going, I should say. And you know, that moron from Britain, Liz Truss, went over and met with Lavrov. And it's like he's standing up there, you know, talking about their Russia's policy, you know, policy positions and their security concerns and the things that they want, you know, that they're wanting done. And Liz Truss is standing up there and just vomiting like slogans out, like catchphrases. Just bleh, throw this up all over the microphone. You know, it's our values and who we are. Yeah, you know, just spit this out. It has nothing to do with the topic at hand. This is where we're at. Let's keep going here. During his presidency, the evil orange man downplayed the U.S. commitment to NATO and publicly criticized the alliance, primarily over the perception that member states were not contributing enough financial support. He also flirted with the idea of withdrawing the U.S. from NATO. According to former National Security Advisor John Bolton, in a second Trump term, I think he may well have withdrawn from NATO, Bolton told the Washington Post in early March. I think Russian President Vladimir Putin was waiting for that. You notice the people they always go to, John Bolton. Once again, this is somebody that nobody likes. Nobody likes John Bolton, and yet here we go. This is who you get. These are the experts. John Bolton, if you will recall, in Trump's brilliance, everybody knows that John Bolton is a neocon, warmongering pile of excrement. still working on the family-friendly thing. I hate to be the only host that use expletive language, so I'm trying to fit in. I'm trying to be part of the cool crowd here. He is a pile of crap. John Bolton, there has never been a war that John Bolton did not want to go fight, especially if it's a war for Israel, but not even that. Not even that. If it's a war, he's all for it, because of course he's not going to go fight in a war. He's never gone and fought in a war. He couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. You could probably take a random 12-year-old boy and say, go kick John Bolton's ass, and he could probably do it. John Bolton is couldn't do nothing. You know, I mean, that's what's so sickening. This is so sickening when you see these warmongers. I mean, it'd be one thing, like back in the day, you might have a warmonger king back in the day. And you know, but the people respected that because he would be a battle-hardened king. You know, it's like he's a king that has lived for battle his whole life. He goes out on his horse or in his chariot or whatever the hell. And he goes out there and he swings the sword and he kills 100 enemy soldiers and everybody rallies around him, you know. And he might wear you out. You know, he could be like, man, you know, he's a good king and he's great in battle and everything. But every time he turns around, he's wanting to make war against somebody. But at least you could respect that, because he's leading the troops. He is a warrior king, and that's what you got. You got a warrior king. You got to live with that. In the democracy, you get John Bolton. This weak person could not fight in a fight. I mean, he could not fight against, like I said, you put a junior high boy against him, and he could not fight back. If you look at these weak, disgusting people that could not physically win an altercation under any circumstances. And yet they are the warmongers. They are the biggest warmongers. They want to send somebody else to go fight and die because they think it's cool, because they think it makes them less weak and less faggoty. There's only so much I can do here. They think it makes them look less weak. So it makes them get this feel of empowerment and strength. And of course, our media, they run out. You get John Bolton's opinion. You don't get anybody else's opinion. You get John Bolton's opinion. Trump and his brilliance, if you will recall, hired John Bolton on. Everybody on the planet knew what John Bolton was. You could go to a random person on the street in Bangladesh and ask them, who's John Bolton? And if they knew who he was, they would say, oh, he's that neocon guy that wants to fight wars continuously against everybody for any reason. I mean, just literally any reason. He wants to fight a war. And Trump hires this guy. Trump hires this guy because, you know, Trump is brilliant with 4D chess and all of that. He hires this piece of crap and then lets him take part in these negotiations with North Korea. And then we're shocked. We're shocked when John Bolton torpedoes the entire negotiation. John Bolton basically shows up and in not so many words says, we're going to regime change your ass, Kim Jong-un. And then, wow, we're all shocked because Because the negotiations fell through, you know, talks broke down today. Well, yeah, I would imagine talks would break down because you brought John Bolton. Nobody could have seen that coming, but Trump and his brilliance. Trump and his brilliance actually thought it was a good day. It was a good idea to hire this guy. Now, you got to love the media speak. The perception that member states were not contributing enough financial support. Now, by the contractual obligations to belong to NATO, this wasn't a perception. They were literally not paying what they had agreed to pay to contribute to the alliance, which, of course, again, it was just the U.S. And you might think, well, yeah, that's stupid. Why would the U.S. go along with basically covering the bill? Well, because in exchange for that, they were going along with the notion of being puppet states. You know, they were just contributing a fraction of what they were supposed to the defense budget. And in exchange, the U.S. would carry the financial burden, but they had to be puppet states and go along with it. And it worked well for years. Now I'm not sure it's going to work so well because Russia is essentially putting Germany on the spot. They've got to choose between collapsing their economy by getting their gas cut off if they don't figure out a way to pay in rubles, or if they got to continue to be submissive to the U.S. So now all of a sudden being a puppet state isn't the easy choice anymore. They're going to be called upon to make hard choices. Trump's critics often argue that Putin's top strategic priority was to weaken the NATO alliance, and Trump was seen as an ally in attaining that goal. Well, I'm sure one of Putin's top strategic priorities is to weaken the NATO alliance. If you have a hostile force threatening your country and they're demonstrating the fact that they're unstable and they're crazy and they go around and bomb countries all over the world, you know. I mean, and they're calling you, you know, one of their, you know, they make it clear that you're more or less on their target list. I mean, yeah, you're going to make it a priority. I mean, you would be a failure in your duties to your country and your people if you were the leader and you failed to try to address this issue of this hostile entity that's running around blowing people up on the planet and, you know, talking about, you know, at some point you're next. Yeah, I think that would just make sense that you would want to weaken that. Now, Trump was seen as an ally in attaining the goal. This shows how obviously limited journalist vocabulary is, an ally in attaining that goal. How would Trump be an ally in attaining that goal? Now, a proper word here, you could take an ally out and use instrumental. Trump was seen as instrumental in attaining that goal. That would make sense. But you see, journalists don't have a large vocabulary because they went to college and majored in journalism. So they have this limited vocabulary. Trump was an ally of Putin to weaken the NATO. No, I mean, that's demonstrably false. That was obviously stupid because it's just, again, they don't have a big enough vocabulary to use any other words. As Putin massed troops along Ukraine's border with Russia and Belarus earlier this year, and similarly declared two eastern regions of Ukraine as independent states, Trump lavished praise on Putin. Quote, I went in yesterday and there was a television screen and I said, this is genius. Putin declares a big portion of Ukraine. Putin declares it independent. Oh, that's wonderful, Trump said. I don't do a very good Trump impression, but you know, I'm trying to make this entertaining, folks. Trump said on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show, he used the word independent, and we're going to go out, and we're going to go in, and we're going to keep peace. You got to say, that's pretty savvy. I guess if there's anything at this point that I have to give to the orange man, that he is still living in these people's heads. They're still living with the orange man in their heads 24/7. I guess that's about all I can say for Trump. But lavished praise on him. Yeah, you know, it's like, well, going by the statement that they used as their example of how he was quote unquote lavishing praise on him. I mean, it looks like a commentary that just as a tactical matter, he thinks that, you know, it was a good move. It sounds mostly like a bunch of Trump gibberish to me, because the thing with Trump is, if you haven't figured this out by now, I don't know how that would be. But the thing with Trump is that everything is about Trump. You know, I mean, his context when he talks about anything is, oh, I would have done it better. Or if it's something bad, that wouldn't have happened if it was me handling it. You know, it's like, you know, everybody, that's why you see this disconnect. This disconnect, like he goes to his rallies and like everybody in his audience are people that are against the vaccine. And he stands up there and tries to take credit for the vaccine and how wonderful it is. You wouldn't have these wonderful vaccines if it wasn't for me and my amazing brilliance. Everything about Trump is Trump-centered. It's just like a mental defect with the guy. It's Trump-centered. Everything is about himself, you know, and everything is always presented in that context. Now, with what he said here about Putin, it was just like his opinion on what the guy was doing. It's such a leap to say he's lavishing praise. I mean, I can look at things that Stalin did, you know, like what Stalin did in World War II. You know, and say, wow, you know, when he started putting people like behind the lines and any soldiers that tried, Soviet soldiers that tried to retreat, they just shot them and killed them. So they had no chance to retreat. That worked pretty well in turning around his losses and starting to gain some momentum and pushing forward. Well, that's just a commentary. I'm not lavishing praise on Stalin. I think that's a horrible thing. I think Stalin was a monster, you know, it's a horrible thing. Like, if you have to shoot your own troops to keep them from withdrawing because, you know, your cause is so noble, you know, that you've got some internal problems going here. But he did find a tactic that worked. It's by the media's framework here. You would have to say that I am lavishing praise on Stalin by simply commenting on something he was doing that appears to be working. I love this next line. I mean, this line just gets me. As global opinion of Putin plummeted, I have to stop. I've got to try to get through this part. I'm going to try to get through it and not launch off into commentary early, premature commentary launching. Got to stay away from it. As global opinion of Putin plummeted following the start of the Russian invasion, however, Trump sought to portray himself as NATO's savior. Shocking. I hope everyone is able to remember that it was me, as President of the United States, that got delinquent NATO members to start paying their dues, which amounted to hundreds of billions of dollars. I got to quit. My Trump impression is so bad. I apologize. I apologize to the listening, to the audience, to those of you listening. I promise I'm going to stop. I will stop trying to do a Trump impression because it's so bad. I hope everyone is able to remember that it was me, as President of the United States, that got delinquent NATO members to start paying their dues, which amounted to hundreds of billions of dollars, the former president said in a written statement. There would be no NATO if I didn't act strongly and swiftly. Again, this highlights how Trump is everything in Trump world is simply about Trump. Now, if the fallout from that is you get something that you want, then so be it. But the man is like the definition of being narcissistic. You see that, like, he was going on and on whining about the election fraud, which was obvious. Everybody saw this election fraud. And he was going on and on about whining about the election being stolen from him and hyping his supporters up and telling him we're going to have a Stop the Steal rally in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. And he tells everybody to show up and come. And then when things turn south and like his advisors are telling him, oh, well, this could be blowback on you. You know, this could affect you in some way negatively. He throws all of those people under the bus. I mean, he couldn't throw them under the bus faster. Why? Because it could be something negative. There could be a negative feedback to him. And the guy lives off of positive ego feedback. Positive ego feedback. This is just an observation. This is a long way from how, you know, these libs sit here and he just lives in their head. This is just an observation. Everything's about him. If it's about him getting praise and being told he's super genius and super smart, he's all for it. You know, if it's a positive reinforcement, if it's anything negative, oh, the media will talk bad about you if you don't denounce these people. And he denounces them. He spent his whole term as president releasing black criminals because Hollywood people asked him to do so. And he, you know, he'd slap on the back, pat on the back, you know, see what a great person I am. These people come out at his behest and when things, you know, look like, well, he could get a negative feedback, he could have issued a blanket pardon to those people, and they wouldn't be rotting in political jail right now, in political prisons, being tortured right now in the U.S. He could have done that, but he didn't, because it's all about himself. Now, the line I kept trying to giggle at, as global opinion of Putin plummeted, global opinion, you know, it's like the map that was put up, you know, when they say the international community, and it's what, the U.S., Western Europe, New Zealand, Australia, and Japan. Now, the rest of the planet doesn't exist. It's just like that. Global opinion of Putin plummeted. Now, they don't tell you that all the polls in Russia show that the guy has approval ratings that no U.S. president could even dream of having, while Joe Brandon's approval ratings are in the toilet, and they're overstating them at that. But what matters is a global opinion. And what global opinion is whatever Washington, D.C. and their puppet states say it is. See, Washington, D.C., the media, as the media opinion of Putin plummeted, as if it could really go down anymore. Of course, Trump sought to portray himself as NATO savior, because with Trump, it's always about Trump. But I just find that so funny. Global opinion. Really? Because I'm pretty sure they got a pretty high opinion of him in China. India seems all right with him. Turkey is a NATO member, and they're like, yeah, no, we're not going to do any of this stuff. We're going to continue to have friendly relations. But global, see, global opinions. People in Africa just hate Trump, or I'm sorry, just hate Putin. You know, people in the Middle East, they sit around thinking how they hate Putin. No, global opinion. In other words, Washington, D.C., the think tanks in Washington, D.C., New York City, you know, the media, the U.S. puppet states, that is global opinion. There is no evidence to back up Trump's claim that NATO was in any danger of disbanding over the issue of dues. It's been debunked. In the run-up to Putin's invasion of Ukraine, NATO members banded together in their opposition to a Russian attack and have acted largely in unison with regards to sanctions on the Russian government. This is the part where we're supposed to pretend that these NATO members are anything but puppet states. This is the part where we're pretending that, you know, it's just like the coronavirus. We're supposed to not notice that all of these different governments are taking the exact same action. Like, it's almost as if they're following a big script. We're supposed to play along with this idea that these NATO nation states are acting independently, you know, and the U.S. is just the front going, come on, guys, let's do this. Instead of the fact that we all know they're puppet states. They're just puppet states. They go where the U.S. tells them to go. They're little pets on a leash. I mean, why? You think about it. Why do the citizens of these countries in Europe, why do they bother having to support a government? They could have more money. They just went ahead and got rid of the middleman and just said, well, make us parts of the U.S., because they're just, as it is, they're just paying for bloated middle management. Because at the end of the day, they're going to do whatever the U.S. tells them to do. I mentioned earlier that Germany is going to have to face this choice as far as is paying for the gas and rubles. You got a government that's supposed to be running their own country, and they're making decisions and they're making policy decisions that are demonstrably detrimental to their own population, to their own governments, to their own society. But they're doing these things at the behest of the larger power. I mean, they are a puppet state by definition. They're not making choices on what we're going to. You want to see what an independent member of NATO does? Look at Turkey. They're like, yeah, no, we're not going to do any of that. That's not good for us. That's not good for our people. They're mad at India because India is like, yeah, no, we're not doing any of that. The global opinion, though, you know, the whole world, the international community, except for all of these very large countries like China and India, they're really mad at Putin. They're really upset, and they're going along with the U.S. But it's sickening that these countries that are members of NATO LARP around as though they're independent, as though they're making their own decisions. It's like, well, if you're making your own decisions, then why are you making decisions that are obviously, you know, harmful to your own society? Germany, if they cut the gas off, Germany's, everybody gets hung up, by the way. Everybody, I see a lot of people online posting, and they get hung up on this idea of, well, winter's almost over. Like, if Germany loses the gas, all that's going to be affected is people, you know, freezing in their homes in the wintertime. That's almost irrelevant. If they lose the gas, if Russia actually follows through and shuts the gas off, which the way Russia drags their feet about doing these things, it's probably not going to happen, but at least not soon. But if it happens, the German economy will implode. Germany is the EU, just like the US is NATO. Germany is the EU. Everybody always get butt hurt and they're like, Germany has all this say in the EU and it's not fair. Well, Germany has all the say because like the only one putting anything into the pot, you know, just like with the US contributing the vast majority of their money to NATO. So they basically get to run everything. Germany gets to have all the say in the EU because they're the only one producing anything. All the rest of these countries are deadbeats. I said it, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you if you're listening to this show and you live in one of these deadbeat countries, but they're deadbeat members of the EU. They're just welfare. Germany's the only one really producing anything and putting money into this operation. That's why they get all the say. If they cut the gas off, Germany's economy will collapse. The EU, by extension, is going to wind up collapsing because you're not going to be able to support it. They can run around and rattle on about, oh, well, we could get LNG, liquefied natural gas from the U.S. and from other. Let me tell you something. Liquefied natural gas is like the most retarded idea on the face of the planet. It's extremely expensive to liquefy it, you see, because it's natural gas. It's in a gaseous form. And that's why you have to send it in a pipe. You know, you got to send it in a pipe. Even here in the U.S., you can have huge gas, natural gas reserves. And in that part of the country, natural gas is cheap. But you go to a different part of the U.S. and it's more expensive. People pay more money for it. Well, why? Like it's all in the U.S. Well, because if you don't have a pipe running from point A to point B, it's going to be more expensive in point B. In point A, you got a glut of it. You know, you're burning it off because you just want to get rid of it. You don't have anywhere to put it. It's extremely expensive to liquefy it and put it on a ship and keep it refrigerated and ship it over there. And you're somehow going to replace a pipe coming from Russia. It ain't realistic. They will have to shut down their economy. They will literally have to shut the economy down. Everybody will be out of work. It's going to implode on itself. The EU will implode on itself. I know I'm supposed to be saying this in a context like this is a negative thing, and I'm starting to listen to myself and think, okay, based, let's do this. Let's do this thing. But yeah, no, it is. It is absurd. It's absurd to act as though any of these NATO countries are doing anything independent, like they're making independent choices for themselves. Asked whether Trump had permanently damaged NATO during his presidency, Romney responded, well, I think it's happened to NATO. What I think what's happened to NATO is that they have said, can we rely on the U.S. and is America and this America first idea, which is the president saying to everybody, hey, go off and do your own thing. I think that approach is one that frightens other members of NATO. And they wonder, are we committed to NATO and to our mutual defense? Or are we all going to go off on our own? They're scared. They're scared to wander off the reservation. Trump's warm public approach to Putin does not appear to be going away. On Monday, Trump solicited help from the Russian autocrat to obtain damaging information about President Biden's son, Hunter. While Trump hasn't committed to run for a second term in 2024, he indicated at a political rally in Georgia over the weekend that he, quote, may just have to do it again. Yes, because anything to stroke Trump's ego. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, they're worried. NATO, they're worried that, you know, the U.S. is America first idea. You know, hey, go off and do your own thing. And they're worried. That frightens the members of NATO. And they wonder, are we committed to NATO and our mutual defense? Are we going to go off on our own? I wonder what part of NATO's mutual defense involved bombing Libya into oblivion. How was that defensive in any way, shape, or form? This is what makes it all so ludicrous. You know, they sit there and they say, well, Russia doesn't have any reason to be concerned about NATO, I don't know, having missiles right across their border. Because NATO is purely a defensive organization, because we say it is. Never mind what NATO did to Yugoslavia or to Libya or any of these other places. We're purely We're purely defensive. It's like the it's like that old saying, you know, we're pure. The NATO says they're purely defensive as they put missiles across Crimea border or something, or something along that lines. It is funny. It is funny that they're acting as though, you know, like Putin is going to be the one to release like damaging stuff about Hunter Biden. You know, when exactly, like Hunter Biden's laptop, we found out that's real after they told us it was like a hoax and told us to ignore it. And yeah, there's all these damaging emails in there. It looks like the bio labs that didn't exist at first and now they do. You know, he was actually in the middle of part of that money funneling. And of course, money was being kicked back. It's all just ridiculous. But, you know, don't pay any attention to that. You see, this is about Putin and the Orange Man are like conspiring together because they're allies or something. And then NATO needs to be strong. The NATO members sit around and worry. They worry that the U.S. will not be there to lead them as their puppet master. That's what they sit around and. So if they sit around and worry about, that is apparently the state of the West today. Mark my words, you're getting Trump. I mean, Trump, you're getting Romney and Liz Cheney. If that, the one thing would be interesting, I suppose, if Trump did decide to run again in the primaries, and obviously that's they're working down, heading that off. That's what all these threats of criminal charges are all about. Once again, I have no sympathy for Trump, you know. He totally threw his own supporters under the bus the moment he thought it was politically expedient. So I have no sympathy for him. I'm sure somebody in his inner circle there, probably his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, probably told him, you know, well, there could be criminal charges against you. They're going to harass you and call you names in the media and maybe even bring criminal charges if you don't throw these people under the bus. So he quickly did so. And I think it's funny that now they're pursuing criminal charges against him at some point. I mean, I guess they haven't technically done that, but I mean, they're obviously that's what they're working towards. And so after throwing these people under the bus, he's going to wind up ultimately with criminal charges one way, whether they're going to stick or not, because the whole point is to keep him from running. Keep him from running again. Because if he was allowed to run again, that means they would have to hoax the election in the primaries, which is pretty unique. I mean, it's one thing to hoax the general election, but hoaxing the primaries is a whole nother matter. As it might be a little more, you know, a little more work involved in that. I don't know. But that would be, I like, the only thing remotely interesting if Trump ran again. Which, again, I don't think that'll happen. Because even if the charges don't stick, as long as he's under the charges, they'll keep him. That'll be enough, they figure, to keep him from running. So, no, I don't think you're going to get that. Instead, I think you're going to get what the people have demanded, which is a Romney-Liz Cheney ticket. Or should I say the ticket that absolutely nobody has demanded and certainly nobody wants. Well, we're going to wrap up on that note. Again, thank you for bearing with me. Solo show for the Daily Nationalist. Never as spicy and fun as when Sven is here with us, but I expect him to be back next week. So be sure and tune in for that. And of course, if you haven't, I invite you to always tune in to listen to my on Tuesdays, my Parish of the Patriot show right here on Radio Albion. So yeah, the Daily Nationalist will be back next week and we'll see you then. Until then, enjoy your weekend. Stay safe, stay sane, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.